closer to our Heavenly Father, to make it our desire, for our desire to be His desire, what we want to be, what He wants. But what happens when it's not nearer, my God, to thee, but it's nearer, my God, to me? And we want to bring God down on our level. And many times in the Christian life, there are many Christians, many lost people, many people that live on this earth, and they bring God down to their level and make God the way they want Him to be, instead of letting God make them what He wants them to be. And that's what really our story is about tonight, as we go to Jonah chapter number 1 in the Word of God, Jonah chapter 1. Last week, as we've been going through this series of problems, and we all face problems in life of different sort, of different shape, and we talked about our sinful problems just a few weeks ago, and we talked about the life of David and problems that came into David's life, and problems that came into the people of David's life because he sinned against God. And whenever we sin, we're inviting problems into our life. And then last week, we talked about situational problems. In the book of Daniel, we found that Daniel was in some tough situations. And all of us could probably give testimony of some time in our life where we were in some tough situations. Some situations we didn't plan to be in, we did not want to be in, and we could not wait to get out. But just like it happened for Daniel, God wants to not just put us in a situation just for us to be miserable, but He desires to transform us through a situation. And that's what we saw. But as we approach Jonah chapter number 1 tonight, Jonah chapter 1, we're looking at our surrendering problems, our surrendered problem. I tell you, many times in our Christian life, we find that we naturally fight God when it comes to surrender. Now, I'm not talking about how many would say, and it's true, that we should surrender our life to the Lord. And that's what Jonah has already surrendered his life to the Lord. Jonah has already made a decision to follow God. But yet he's asked here to recommit. He's asked here to do something specific he does not want to go do. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to be any part of this gospel message to the people of Nineveh. And we all know the story, and it really, if we look at the book of Jonah, it's a story that tells us a hard lesson to swallow about obedience. And let's get into the Bible tonight. Let's read Jonah chapter number 1, and we'll read verses number 1 through 3 together. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I say Jonah's making a bad decision. He's deciding not to surrender, and he's inviting problems into his life. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your love. God, thank you for your mercy. God, I pray that you'd help us for the next few minutes as we look at the life of Jonah and this critical moment in his life where he had a decision to make. God, I pray that you'd help us as we face the days ahead. There are times we have to resurrender, and there are times we have to recommit ourselves, and there's times we have to dedicate moments of our life to do something for your will, God. God, I pray that you'd help us to stop fighting you and to just decide to not have a surrendered problem in our life like Jonah has. Help us, we pray, God. Bless me with thy Holy Spirit, God. Please help me to preach this message. Let me be a blessing to your people. Hide me behind the cross. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, we pray. Amen. Amen. And verse number 1 of the book of Jonah, first thing we see tonight, we see a clear message. Oh, a clear message. Now, I have found this to be true, and you will often see it, that when God tells people what they need to do, He communicates it through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. As a preacher, I don't have to tell you what God's will is most of the time. You already know it. But it is the preacher's job most of the time to convince you to do God's will when you already know what it is. Because right away in verse number 1, God is speaking to Jonah, and Jonah knows pretty quick what he's supposed to do. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." So God speaks to Jonah. There's no mistake. Jonah didn't have to check twice. Is God really speaking? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah knew God was speaking. Jonah knew what God wanted him to do. What does he want him to do? Verse 2. He says, arise, get up, leave where you're at, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Jonah, you need to get up and you need to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to them. For the wickedness has come up before me. I say it is bad when the wickedness comes up before God. I was thinking about this, preparing for this message. Very few times in the Bible is God so put off by sin that he actually brings destruction. That's not God's first method. Can we get an amen on that? I'm glad for his first time we mess up, God doesn't just wipe us out. God, you have to push God to get him to the place where he's going to bring down the hammer. And aren't y'all glad we have a God like that, that delights in mercy, that has forgiveness, that cares about us, and does not want to bring punishment right away, but offers mercy and grace and justice and help instead? Amen. And look at our story. What happens? He's supposed to go to Nineveh. The wickedness is up before him. And what does Jonah do? And this clear message, he has a clear message. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's going to make the wrong decision. But he has a clear message. He chooses not to surrender. And many of us, when we choose to do that which God does not want us to do, we oppose a clear message. James chapter 1, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what's the Bible saying in James? If we know what God wants us to do, we hear the message, a clear message, and we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. We are lying to ourselves. We're saying we're a good Christian when we ain't. We're saying we're doing what God wants us to do when we're not. When we know what God wants us to do and we do the opposite and we have a clear message, we're not being a hearer of the word, we deceive ourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hey, we're not acting right. And we know we're not doing right. We deceive ourselves. And we're beholding ourselves as in a mirror, the face in a glass. When we look at a mirror, we could go look at a mirror tonight. And I'm glad I looked at one before church. And anybody said amen out in the audience? I looked at one before church. I tried to make sure my hair was straight. And it's not. It's probably right now. I tried to make sure my tie was straight. It probably ain't either. Me and my wife, we had nachos for dinner before I come to church. I had to make sure I didn't spill any of it on my white shirt. I was making sure I knew what I was doing. But how ridiculous would it be? I look in the mirror and my tie is over here down at my shoelaces. And my hair looks like I just crawled out of bed. And then my suit jacket's got a big old stain on it. And I just come up here like everything was fine. Now, you would have seen that something's not right there. And when us as a child of God, when we know what God wants us to do, but we go away unchanged, we're deceiving ourselves. Jonah knows what he's supposed to do. Jonah has been called by God to do this. A direct line from heaven said, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, preach to it. A clear message that leads us to a critical moment. Whenever you and I know what God wants us to do and we have a clear message, and praise God tonight, we got the inspired, preserved, holy word of God, we have a clear message. When you and I have a clear message and we choose not to follow the message, we come to a critical moment when we have a choice to do right or to do wrong. And we don't follow the message, we're going to make the wrong choice in a critical moment. And that's what Jonah does here in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee. He rose up. So Jonah was supposed to rise to go, but instead he rose up and said no. And he arises to flee. He's going unto Tarshish, the opposite direction. If we had a map tonight behind me and it was showing you where Nineveh was and where Tarshish was, he's going the complete opposite direction. He's supposed to go north, he's going south. He's supposed to go east, he's going west. He's going the opposite way. He's going as far away from the will of God. He's going as far away as the plan of God as he can go. And you and I, in our critical moment, we have a decision if we're going to surrender to what God wants us to do. Well, preacher, what is this surrender you keep talking about? It could be as simple as putting extra money in the offering plate when God asks you to. The surrender could be as simple as you giving a gospel tract to someone that punctures your heart when you're at the grocery store and has that little tug on your heart that says, you need to tell them about Christ. Hey, it could be as easy, as simple as when God tells you to pray for somebody, but you choose not to. For when you get that as your home and you turn on the TV and you hear that tug says, you ain't read your Bible yet. You haven't read your Bible today. And you decide to just keep channel surfing. And you know what you're supposed to do. And that's surrender just as much as somebody surrendering their life to preach the gospel. That's surrendering just as much as somebody deciding to go to the mission field. When we have those little moments, when we have a clear message, and we know what God wants us to do, and we do it not. Maybe it'll be Friday night. You say, man, we got prayer meeting tomorrow morning at church, but I got stuff to do. That moment of surrender, you have a clear message, you know what's going on. And it's a critical moment when you decide, what am I going to do? Jonah does the opposite. Jonah chooses to do what he knows is wrong. You and I, we can choose to do what we know is wrong. When we're in business, in our dealings with others, how we treat people. We get on. You have that person call you. And me and my wife were on our way to church. She got a call from one of them crazy numbers. You ever get them crazy numbers call you? Lately, they say the same thing. Hey, it is a critical time in our country, and you need to make a vote today. I get that one. Y'all been getting that? I get all the election, okay? It's always Trump that calls me, though. I ain't never got a message from Miss Kamala yet. I always get them from Trump. But maybe they know which way I'm going. But anyway, so I keep getting them crazy numbers and them crazy calls. And I hear that, and they want me to do something. You know, when God speaks to us, he has something that he wants us to do. Or what do? In that critical moment, Paul said in Romans 7, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Hey, we got to deal with our sin. We got to deal with our flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul said, it's the sin that dwelleth in me. When I know what I'm supposed to do, I have to deal with my flesh because my flesh is pulling the opposite direction from what God wants me to do. And you and I, everywhere we go, no matter how old we get, we have got to deal with our flesh. We have got to deal with our flesh opposing what the will of God in our life. We have got to deal with our flesh that wants us to do the opposite that God wants us to do. And Jonah here, he's dealing with his flesh and he's doing the opposite of the command of God. Jonah knows where Nineveh is. Jonah knows how to get to Nineveh. Jonah knows the layout of Nineveh. He can get there. He can do what he needs to do. But he is choosing the opposite direction. The opposite direction. The opposite plan. He fled. He was disobedient. He found the ship. We want to find a way out of the will of God or we can do it. There's a lot of exits off the highway of holiness. He fled and then he found a ship. The Bible says he found a ship. Going to Tarshish. If we're looking for a way out, the devil will give us a way out. We're looking for an excuse not to do something God wants us to do. The devil has a whole magazine full of them. He has a whole internet. He has got Amazon at his disposal. He can get us to do what we're not supposed to do. The devil's ready to help us find a way out. He fled, he found, and then he paid the fare. Hey, going to Nineveh was free. Because God was paying for it. Going to Tarshish, he had to pay for. It costs when we do the opposite. We have a clear message, and in our critical moment, we decide to do wrong. We have a clear message that we disobey. It will cost us. He paid the fare thereof. He paid the fare. You and I want to go the opposite direction. We want to do what God does not want us to do. Guess what's going on? We're going to pay the fare for that. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but there is a fare when we do the opposite of what God wants us to do. What do we do in our critical moments? Disobedience destroys and costs us something. There is always a consequence for our choice. Jonah's is going to be next. Jonah has an immediate consequence. It wasn't something he had to deal with years down the road. That happens sometimes. And it brings sadness, it brings destruction, it brings sorrow into a life. But Jonah deals with it now. Jonah's in the boat, and I believe that boat hadn't got far off the port. As soon as it took that direction towards Tarshish, out there in the water, it was coming. I believe that storm got there quick. And we'll see that's in verse 4. We see the clear message. We see the critical moment. And now we see the cruise of misery. Oh, the cruise of misery that Jonah took. Most people, when they get on a cruise, they get on a boat, they expect to have a good time. Jonah is going to have just the opposite. Let's look at verse 4 together. But the Lord. In verse number 3, it was but Jonah. In verse number 4, it's but the Lord. Sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. We see the mighty tempest here. The storm comes up. Jonah has the problem of a storm, because Jonah had a surrendering problem. The storm was a consequence for Jonah making the wrong choice. Jonah is dealing with the storm because he said no to God. Jonah is dealing with the storm. He's dealing with the wind. He's dealing with the rain. All these problems are there because he made the wrong choice. And look at this. So the ship was like to be broken. Storms and problems can feel like they're going to break us. Can feel like they're going to tear us apart. And sometimes they come because we sin. Sometimes they come in a situation. Sometimes they come because we said no to what we knew God wanted us to do. In verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So let's see a couple things that they did here that's interesting. Number one, we see that Jonah, he should not have laid carelessly asleep. The storm is raging. There's a problem there, and he's the one to blame. And the mariners are up there on the top. They're rowing. They're trying to fight the storm. They're lightening the load of the ship. They're doing everything they can to stop the storm, to survive. And Jonah is asleep. When you and I, we have a problem that comes to our life, we don't need to go asleep and just think sometimes it's going to solve itself. We need to trust God. But Jonah sits and he's asleep. Tell you, that's the problem with the church, and we get a great parallel to the church here. That Jonah is the sleeping church in this world storm. That the church is asleep, or the world is going to hell in a handbasket, when the church should arise and go and cry against the sin and cry against the wickedness that's rising up before God. But instead, the church goes to sleep. Tell you, many Christians go to sleep in the storm instead of helping. The mariners are dying. The mariners are fleeing. The mariners are afraid. The mariners have trouble. And Jonah is asleep. Don't lay carelessly asleep in a problem. Well, how about this? The Bible tells us that they lightened the ship. They lightened the ship. How do you lighten a ship? They're throwing their cargo overboard. Now, the ship is being paid to carry cargo. We still do that today. Ships are all over the ocean tonight, carrying cargo from one place to another. And they're carrying that cargo. They put things on a ship expecting it to go to a destination. And they are paid for their cargo. And they're throwing it overboard. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship. Now, this is the valuable possessions. Think about the valuable things in your life. And that's what they're throwing away. They're throwing away the value in the ship. The ship is just wood. The value is what in the ship is carrying. And they're throwing that away. In the story of Jonah tonight, we see that all the good on the ship is being tossed aside. When storms come into our life, don't lighten your Christian life. Problems come in. Oh, I can't go to church so much because I got to deal with this. I hear this, and y'all have heard it too. People will say, well, as soon as I get my life straightened out, I'll get to church. You ever heard that one? As soon as I get rid of this problem, I'm going to start coming to church. As soon as I get healthy, I'll be at church. As soon as I quit drinking, I'll get to church. As soon as I quit this, as soon as I stop that, as soon as I get to this next position at work, I'll have more time off and I'll be able to go to church again. I hear story after story like that. And we know that they're trying to lighten the load. And many Christians, a problem will come in. Jonah's facing a problem.
because he's not surrendering. And many Christians have a problem coming through their life. Well, I can't go to Sunday school anymore. Well, I can't make it to Sunday night anymore. Well, I got Wednesday night is just too much during the week and all this stuff going on. And they want to lighten the load of their Christian life. The problem isn't the weighers. The problem isn't the cargo. The problem isn't the mariners. The problem is the sin that's on the boat. The problem is Jonah. Jonah's the problem. Jonah's the one that's not surrendered. Jonah's the one bringing problems on the ship. And you and I in our Christian life, we'll come to a spot where we say, let's get everything out. But we won't deal with the root of the problem. Jonah was the problem. Don't lighten your load in the storm, in the problem. And how about this? What happened? So they go down and finally wake Jonah up. Verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. Wait a minute, I heard that word before. Jonah's thinking, that man comes down, you need to get up. Somebody else told me to do that, and I didn't listen to them. But Jonah listens to the shipmaster. He wouldn't listen to God when God said get up, but he listened to the shipmaster. He said, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So the shipmaster wakes him up. The captain says, Jonah, you need to get up, and you need to pray to your God that he'll help us. Jonah's thinking, now, he's not going to hear me because last time we talked, it didn't go so well. So what do they do? And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. So they may have done this with dice. They could have done this in several different ways. How they would cast lots and they were going to see who the great number or who the amount or who the villain was. This is a form of luck. Hey, the spirits, the fates will tell us who the problem is what they're thinking. So when you're in a storm, don't lay carelessly asleep. When you're in a storm, don't lighten your Christian life. And when you're in a storm, don't let luck decide your character. Oh, when you're in a storm, don't let luck decide your character. Jonah is now depending on the roll of the die if he's going to get to stay on the ship. Jonah's depending on how all this, on how this luck, this circumstance goes, if he's going to, you know, hide his true identity as the problem on the boat. He's relying on luck. I tell you, many of us and many people, they rely on luck in their Christian life to help their character. If everything's going good, you know, everything is great, I'm good. Hey, if everything is right and aligned the way it's supposed to be, I'll be a good Christian. I'll be there every time the doors are open. I'm going to tithe. As long as I got, you know, I'm getting bonuses at work, I'll tithe all day long. But as soon as the bonuses stop and short time comes, oh, I can't tithe now. It's too tight now. When I had more money, I could do it, but this is rough right now. I can't do it right now. And we surrender as long as everything is going our way. And we're good as long as God is good to us. And we think, you know, everything's going great, so I'll be great. But things start to slim off, and we start to slim off what we know is right. Many Christians, they let luck decide how their character is going to be. Well, if I'm feeling good, the church is so lucky to have me, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. They let luck decide their character. But God does not call fair weather Christians. Christians don't get to fly south for the winter. They don't get to take a summer vacation. The Christian life is a 24/7, 365 life. It's every day, everywhere, no matter what time it is. God has a plan for us to do. We can't let luck decide how we're going to live our Christian life. We can't let those things decide how we act. So here we see now Jonah, the lot cast upon him. And what do they do? Verse number 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, look at this phrase, why hast thou done this? Verse 10, why hast thou done this? It, lost people telling saved people how they're supposed to act. Lost people telling saved people how they're supposed to act.
And see, people do that. Have you ever seen a person, a child of God? I'm talking about a saved Christian, a child of God, living an ungodly way. There is nothing that looks so out of place. There is nothing that looks like it does not belong there. There is nothing that looks like, what's wrong with this situation? Like a child of God living in sin. A child of God who knows what's right is in a nightclub and a bar. They don't look like they belong there. That person is odd. Because there's something in their spirit that says, this ain't right. A child of God hanging out with the wrong crowd, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb because they're not supposed to be there. And the lost people, when Jonah stands up and says, I'm the prophet of God, they say, what's wrong with you? You know how powerful your God is. You know what your God did. You know he created the land and he created the sea. He's the God of heaven. How could you do this? You made a mistake and we're all going to suffer for it. We never have a problem on our own. We don't surrender. We affect others. When we don't surrender to do what God has planned for us to do, we are going to hurt not just ourselves. We're going to hurt the others that God could have used us to help. When we say no to God, we're going to hurt others that we could have reached. Jonah's getting ready to go to the belly of the whale, and we know the story. For 3 days and three nights, he'll be in the belly of the whale. And for 3 days and three nights in the great city of Nineveh, whose population we could guess was at least around 500,000 people, maybe 300,000 if we're being conservative. And those 300,000 people in the city of Nineveh for 3 days and three nights, how many died of heart attacks? How many could have had a chance to repent and get right before they died? How many old people passed away in the hospital? How many children died of smallpox and whooping cough and diseases? How many people suffered for the 3 days and three nights that Jonah had to spend in the well because he said no? People passed away. There were accidents. Wagons turned over. People died during those 3 days and three nights in Nineveh that could have had a chance to repent. Would they have? I hope so. I don't know. But we'll never know because Jonah didn't go. Jonah could have helped them people. But for 3 days and three nights, while people died in the city, Jonah was in a whale's belly stuck because he messed up. We don't just hurt ourselves. We don't surrender. We hurt others. Jonah hurts the mariners. He hurts the people. During those 3 days and three nights, he's in the whale's belly. Because we know how the story goes. The men tried to row out of the storm. They couldn't. They have to cast Jonah in the sea. Verse 15, chapter 1. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Verse 16, they made vows. We get in trouble. Oh, that's God, if you get me out of this. We know that people love to. We get in trouble. God, if you get me out of the hospital, I'm going to start serving you. God, if you will heal this person. God, if you would just fix this for me. God, if you get me out of debt, I'll start tithing. God, if you would just heal my loved ones. God, I'll be there every Sunday. And then loved ones get healed. The debt disappears. There's no check and offering plate. Loved ones are healed, and then they're nowhere to be found on Sunday morning. People love to make promises. They made vows. I tell you, when we get in trouble, let's make a vow.
What happens next in chapter 2? Jonah has a cry for mercy. Chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. That's a good, we haven't made promises to God. That's a good promise. I will pay that I have vowed. Verse number 9. What does Jonah say in chapter 2? Salvation is of the Lord. Hey, what a great gospel sentence in the Old Testament. Salvation is of the Lord. Hey, we ain't getting out of the well's belly if we don't get some help. Jonah's here. He, for 3 days and three nights in that belly, he doesn't hear a sound except the digestive tract of the whale. He has the awfulest stench in his nostril. Dead fish everywhere. No darkness. He's probably cuddled in cramped quarters. The digestive juice in the well is eating away his skin.
And the juice in the well is probably at least deep enough to his over his feet, maybe over his legs. Maybe he has to go up for air every once in a while as that fills up. This is a nasty place to live. And we have to have water. And he's probably thirsty. He's hungry. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. I ain't getting out of here, God, if you don't let me. But God, if you would just... if you please, get me out of this well. God, get me out of it, please. And what happens in verse 10? He finally cries to God for help. God, I messed up, but I know that you can get me out of this well. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. And the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And this is probably the greatest verse in the book. What is the key verse of the book of Jonah? Chapter 3, verse 1. It's not the well. It's not his walk away from God. What is the key verse? Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad God speaks to us the second time? Aren't you glad when our surrendered problems come because we disobey God and we don't do what's right? Jonah gets to hear God's voice again. God loves to speak to us the second time. The cry for mercy is heard. Then is a call to the miraculous. Look at chapter 3, verse 5, real quick. So Jonah preaches to them, says you need to repent or God's going to destroy the city. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So just for sake of time, Jonah preaches to them, you need to repent, you need to get right, or God's going to destroy the city. And probably the greatest revival in the whole Bible. Yes, the greatest revival in the whole Bible. The whole city, not part of the city, not just the church in the city, not just a section of the city. The whole city repents. They put on sackcloth, they have the ashes, it's a symbol of sorrow, and they probably cover ashes on their arms and their shoulders, and they cry unto the Lord for mercy, and God hears them and forgives them. Oh, the greatest revival in the Bible. A whole city believes and receives forgiveness. If the story stopped right there, we would say, oh my goodness. But the preacher, think about this, the preacher that brought the greatest revival in history still hasn't surrendered. The greatest revival in history. I can't find another revival where the whole city gets saved. In the book of Acts, Pentecost, we see thousands. But the whole city. But the preacher still ain't surrendered. What happens? Look at chapter 4 with me real quick. But it displeased Jonah. It displeased. I pray, and y'all pray for me. Preacher needs prayer, amen. Preacher needs prayer. I hope if God got the whole city of Archdale saved, I wish he would, amen. We need to pray for that. I wouldn't be displeased. I could be just like Jonah, amen. Y'all help me. We're one step away from being like Jonah. We can make one bad decision that leads to another bad decision where we're displeased with the mercies of God. We're displeased with the forgiveness of God. We're displeased from the great mercy and grace our God shows. Jonah's displeased exceedingly and was very angry. Now, we could look at the story, and the people of Nineveh had brought sorrow, had brought war to Israel. If we look at the history of Israel and the nation of Assyria, where Nineveh is the capital, the Ninevites had brought sorrow to Israel. I think about the Assyrian soldiers that brought captivity to Israel for a period of time and brought sorrow to Israel, and the destruction they caused, maybe the children that were hurt in the battle, the women that were hurt, the slaves that were taken, the men, the wives who saw their men go out to fight the great army of Assyria, and then came back and never came back home, widows in the land of Israel because of the Assyrians, fatherless child because of the Assyrian army, fathers without children, all this, the sorrow. Homes destroyed, crops burned. Jonah didn't want to see any peace come to Nineveh. Maybe that's why Jonah was so unhappy. He said, no. What did he say in verse 2? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Repent thee of the evil.
Jonah says, I knew if I came over here this was going to happen, God. Jonah says, God, I know you love mercy and you love grace. And I knew if I would come and preach to the Ninevites, they'd get saved. And I didn't want that to happen. The bitterness, the problem of Jonah, he wouldn't surrender to the will of God.
So let me just bring it all back together by saying this. Preacher, what do we do when God wants us to do something?
Remember. Remember what God wants us to do. Remember how good God's been to us and do it. But God, what if I did? But you, preacher, what if I did not do what God wanted me to do? Remember, he's a forgiving God. Remember his mercy. Remember, repent, repeat. That's a great recipe for the Christian life. Remember what God has done for us. Repent when we don't surrender. Repeat the process. Remember, repent, repeat. And that helped me. Jonah, it blows my mind when I read the story. That Jonah had all that. He was a great preacher. He's mentioned in the book of 2 Kings. He's there. He was a preacher of the gospel. He's a preacher, a prophet of God. He could not surrender. The well's belly, he gets out. He goes to Nineveh. He does what God wants him to do. But he's not happy with what God does. It's a sad story. We'll close by reading verses 9, 10, 11. Then I'll pray. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well? We know Jonah didn't do well. We never do well when we fight God. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for that which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? God saw Nineveh's potential. Jonah didn't. Wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot be discerned the right hand and their left, and also much cattle. Problems that come when we don't surrender. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the story of the book of Jonah. God, help us, we pray. God, help us to surrender.